This is CliffCentral.com.
And this is Shoma Jozi. How are you?
Oh my gosh. I'm awesome.
It's very, very cool to have you in. I wonder if you realize how cool people think you are at the moment. I don't know. Do you think you've got to have some indication, right?
People seem to be really into the whole movement and really into the whole Limpopo Champions League vibe. I was completely shocked by that because, like I said before, I think I expected to be a Limpopo superstar, but I didn't think I was going to be like nationally famous, let alone internationally famous.
Yeah, I mean, it's you had an incredible 2017. People, you know, speak about like, how was your year at the end of 2017?
Yes.
And like, I mean, you must have been pretty stoked with how it turned out, right?
It was pretty good. Yeah. Like, I made it onto Wikipedia. It was good. With pictures.
Yeah.
I've managed to hang out with a lot of famous people. That's really cool. Couple of really famous people have a crush on me, so I'm like, whoa, that's awesome.
Who's got a who have
you? Yo, guys, some seriously famous people. I was shocked.
Okay.
It's
how did you find out?
I was told by another famous person. It's like I'm surrounded by so many famous people. It's getting to the point where I'm like, maybe I'm famous? I don't know. Like, because there's, I mean, guys, yeah, it's been like a dream. Sometimes I'm like, am I on TV? Like, why is everyone around me just famous, you know? So I guess I got to hang out with famous people. I got a couple of new crushes.
Yeah.
What else happened?
All in all, it was good. Yeah, you released some incredible stuff as well. And not just sound, like visuals, and just kind of like really, really dope creative.
Yes.
What I'm super interested in is, what kind of kid were you? I mean, I can't picture that you were the kind of kid in grade one that it feels like you colored outside the lines.
Yes, definitely.
Okay.
Definitely. Like, I got, my mom got called to school one day, and they told her, like, they think something's wrong with me because of the way I cut. They say I don't move the scissor, I move the paper around to meet the scissor. And my mom was like, you guys called me to come here from Shelley Village to Lutrichard to tell me that she doesn't know how to cut. But yeah, I was always kind of, I guess, out there. I was always going to be different, obviously, because my whole life story is a little bit weird, obviously. Like, I was born in a village. I was born in a very Tsonga part of Limpopo, in a very rural part of the country. And yet my dad is white, you know. But I grew up just having like no idea that I was different and just speaking Xitsonga and thinking like I'm just like everybody else. Playing just like any other kid. In that sense, I was quite typical. But it's when I moved to, like, you know, town for the first time, and I was like, oh, wait, this is not how, like, anybody expects me to speak or, you know. So I guess I was always going to be a bit different.
Because it's tricky when you're a kid and you're trying to find your identity and then you don't just fit in. And then you have to, like, decide, am I going to force myself to fit in, or I'm actually going to, like, nurture this?
Yeah.
And it can go either way.
Yeah.
How did you sort of get to a point where you were going to nurture it and you weren't going to just want to fit in? Because, I mean, and you must see it all the time in what you get from fans, and that what resonates to so many people about you is just authenticity, but in a real sense of the word, because it's such an overtraded term in this day and age.
Right.
But you'll see it in what your fans say about you, even looking at the comments and posts and stuff. People identify with that. So how did you kind of cultivate that when it isn't cool and it's not like I hang out with famous people?
Yeah. And it wasn't cool. For a long time, I got into a lot of trouble. I didn't know what I was going to do with my life because I wanted to get into politics or writing and very serious subjects. But I could never fit into those spaces because every time it was something different. In high school, it was like my hair was an afro. And that was before it became cool, né, to have afros and stuff. And so all the teachers were like, okay, you can't do that. And I was getting into trouble for stuff that I just couldn't understand why that was a problem, you know. And for also just speaking out and for being more interested in, like, I guess, art and things like that. And for not understanding why I should, like, adhere to rules that to me they don't seem to have any direct practical use, you know. And so I was getting into like all sorts of trouble. I almost got kicked out of high school called my dad, called everybody, disciplinary hearing. And they said, I remember one of the, it was the school counselor said, you know, if children don't fit into the box, you have to cut their arms and legs off, you know. And sure. I was very lucky to have parents that actually saw like, wait, that actually sounds very dangerous. Mm. Like, that doesn't sound good. And I think the only reason I wasn't kicked out of high school is because my parents actually took me out. And that's when like my family left the country and we went to Tanzania, and I was really lucky to experience a totally different culture and vibe, and experience that the world is like, it's bigger than like, you know, just like sticking to stupid like rules and stuff. And yeah, and then I got to kind of experience like a whole set of different people, different ideas, different beliefs, and it kind of made me see like, no, you can actually be different, and you can, there's many ways of being, you know.
What do you think is the most interesting thing about you?
What's the most interesting thing about me? I don't know. I mean,
from your perspective, because people can label it. I mean, you go into Google, it takes you 6 seconds to see what people pick up on as the most interesting thing about you. But for you, what is it that's, you know, truly fascinating?
I mean, I live with myself, so there's nothing like that I'm like, whoa, that's interesting to me, because I'm like with my thoughts all the time. I think it's what's interesting to me. I think it actually should have been how I should have ended the last question, which is that when you, because your actual question was like, how did I decide like I was just going to go with it and be different and stuff. And I think I just couldn't be any other way. You know, and I'm proud of myself for that. There's something, there's like a kind of resilience in me that like, actually, I'm not capable of not being myself. You know, if I tried to pretend to be something else, I would actually just feel myself dying slowly or whatever. This is the only way I can be.
I think it's so cool. And the reason I think it's important to speak about is because, you know, you want to effect some sort of change. And a great change to effect in the world is to encourage people to be themselves, because it's one of the hardest things to do. So when you see someone who is successful because they are just being that, then it's a cool thing to kind of figure out, well, how does that person get to that point?
Right.
How do you decide, well, I'm not going to listen to the teacher that says cut the arms and the legs and every body part off until you fit into it?
Yeah.
Because you probably do have a more fulfilled life when you're kind of just being yourself and being authentic.
Yeah, now it's fulfilling because I'm famous now, so that's awesome. But no, but it's not easy. That's the thing. And it's like, if you stick with it, then eventually, like, you will get the recognition that you need, right? So for me, I could not understand this idea, for example, that Xitsonga people were somehow less cool than other ethnic groups. You know, that my language was not as modern, not as hip. It wasn't, I just couldn't understand that. I'm like, why? It's dope, you know? And I couldn't. There's a lot of people who, and I don't blame them at all for this, because of how much like hatred and like jokes that you get against younger people. But like, you get people who will change, you know, their name or the way they speak or whatever. And like I said, I don't blame them. It's extremely difficult. But I refused to change anything about myself. I was like, I am Tsonga, you know, and I speak Xitsonga, and I'm going to rap Xitsonga, you know. It's things like that. And that has eventually gained me kind of a lot of attention and popularity and a bit of money.
And more in the future. Yeah, because it just grows.
Yeah.
It's like a tipping point, I guess. And then once you hit that, then you kind of just, you know, the goals shift.
Yeah.
Do you think that...
Also, like, once it's been done, then you see how easy it is. It's there's so many things where you see even like, oh, this is the first black person to do this, or this is the first anything, you know. And once someone does it, it's like, wait, so that's actually possible. Because there was no physical barrier stopping anybody from rapping Xitsonga.
Yeah.
You know? There wasn't. And now that I've been able to do that, then it's given a lot of other people confidence to say, okay, oh, I can also be proudly embraced. There was also no rule anyway that said you can't wear Xibelani to a party, you know? Ever. But people never really thought it could be done because they didn't see anyone doing it.
Do you think even a younger version of you would have believed what you look like at 25?
No.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Isn't that, I mean, how do you comprehend that? Isn't that weird?
It's extremely weird, but it really helps me a lot.
Okay.
It helps me to make sense of what's happening here. Like, when I go home, it's crazy. Like, it's insane, you know, every time there will be just so many people that will bombard us, you know, and come and they want to see me. And I'm like, in the beginning, I couldn't understand the craze of it until I put myself in my own shoes and said, a younger me seeing a chick rapping like in mainstream media and whatever, and on TV and whatever, Hishitsonga, I would have been my biggest fan. I would have been like, this is insanely cool, you know? So that's the only way I can begin to understand what other people might be feeling, like kids from my village and stuff. Because we never thought, and how insane is that? We never thought we would hear our own language on like national radio. We never thought that that would just be a mainstream song, would just be like a full-on Tsonga raps, bars. Not just like one or two words that might be used in a house song or something, but that you'd be hearing Tsonga bars. It never crossed our mind.
It's so dope.
You know?
It's so dope. Hanging out with Sean Majorzy. If you've got questions, you can tweet us. It's at cliffcentral.com. On the other side of this, picking up on what she's just spoken about, when, you know, the unthinkable becomes the thinkable, and when you're the person driving what is the new norm, what it means to take on that responsibility, and then people start labeling you this and labeling you that, and then you got to keep innovating, and then it's pressure and all those things, and plus the fact that she's a superhero, which is also pretty cool. It's all on the way. Kelman on cliffcentral.com. You were just telling me that it was hours and hours and hours of thought and extensive strategy sessions, and it was all exceptionally planned, those four lines on that track from Oh Kemalem Cool Cats.
Ari, you joker. What I was telling him, to the listeners that are at home or wherever you guys listen, is that we were just playing about. Like, Malum left the studio, left the song playing, and Amadando and I went in and we just did a lot of very silly things, and Malum removed most of it, obviously, but kept those four lines.
It's crazy.
We just went in there, yo, we were saying crazy. What was I saying at some point? Because you know, Malum's name, his real name is Smiso Zwane.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I think I had started my rap with like, Choma, I was talking to Smiso Zwane, coming in the club looking so insane. Hey, and then I read in, and then I was like, but has it been to Milan? And he actually kept that part, which is crazy. Like, I was not supposed to be on that song, and somehow I managed to get
there. There she is. More with Sean Majorzy, 4 seconds. Kelman on cliffcentral.com. So, yeah, cool. So, I mean, that Oh Kemalem Cool Cat track was like huge. It was massive. Yeah. But it's like you didn't sleep after you got that. You took that and you went to the bank. You 100%. Deposited it. You put it into a flexi save. I mean, and that was a bit strategic, right?
No, I was fumbling about for most of the year. Like, what's going on? It's insane.
And then you kind of just, yeah, I mean, and now you ended up 2017 with a massive, massive song.
Yes.
An incredibly dope video.
Thank you.
Which just, I think is just going to have a really long lifespan. I mean, you must be seeing more and more people discovering it.
Yeah.
Do you go into YouTube and have a look who's looking from where? Do you like see that back end stats stuff?
No, but thank you for that point. I will. What I have seen is randomly like comments from people like, we're listening in Scotland, we're listening in Poland, and what, which is, that is blowing my mind.
Yeah.
And a lot of the people that were always like, you know, there's people who always, your friend that knows all the songs before you know them, and then like 2 months later, like, you played me this, right? Those guys have been hearing the Me Phone, and they know, like, it's been out for several months, and it just keeps getting new life when more and more people see it, because there's some people who hadn't heard about it at all until the video came out. So they saw the video and then they were like, oh, this video is so amazing and it's on YouTube, so people should check it out. And they were like, this video is so dope. And then they began to know the song.
Yeah.
But didn't know the song before. So there's just like all these waves of it. I'm constantly surprised at how excited people are for that song.
It's so cool. I think I was watching the reaction video, because people take the video and then on YouTube they do like a whole reaction thing and everything like that. It's kind of a nice segue to this line. You're doing some very cool work with them, Absolute. And there's a great line in the release that says, we can really change the way the world sees Africa.
Yes.
And for you, it must be really cool when people pick up on what it is that you're doing and they laud it and they think that it's so dope. Because through art, one can change the way that the world sees Africa and change that narrative.
100%.
I think that's quite important to you, right? I mean, I know it's cool to hang out with the famous people and all of that, but there's a kind of a bigger message behind what you want to be about.
Yeah, I think for me, I have, through just trying to do me and trying to like make my own space, right? I have inadvertently I've managed to actually change the way people view Tsonga people, how people might view young black girls, how people might view you know, South Africans, and on a broader level probably how people view Africans, you know, because I think a lot of the time, either like with us, it's either you are falling into like these old stereotypes, or like in making fun of ourselves, just the way like white people made fun of us or whatever, or you are trying to put yourself in such a way where you're like, oh no, we're not like that, we're actually like this. And what I want to do is just be myself. I don't want to perform for anybody or say, well, I'm gonna fit into your stereotype of me or your idea of me, or I'm going to actively fight against it, because in both cases the person still has the power and not me. Like, I want to make my own thing and be my own self. And and like the fact is that right now we are quite globalized, right, as Africans, you know. So I'm not going to be, even I'm not even going to wear Shibelani the way like my grandmother wore it, right? So I want to show the world what it means to be African now. You know, I'm not going to be like whatever like colonialists or whatever painted us as. I'm not going to be that. I'm also not going to completely erase my Africanness. I'm going to be what it means to be a young African now, which is that we're hip, you know, and I'm just going to bring that dopeness, and I'm so excited for the rest of the world to see that.
How do the words identity and artistry kind of intersect for you? How do those two words come together?
That's actually such a good point, because, you know, maybe with like someone who paints or something, they make art and then they put it aside. For me, the art of it is everything I do. It's like, you know, what I wear, that's part of the art that I make, right? So, you know, editing always Shibelani, bringing it in, bringing it to the next level, bring Shibelani sha, like shamini skete, or I'll make a Shibelani crop top, or I'll make whatever. It's like bringing that into everything that I wear. So a lot of the art is in everything I do. And everybody knows my hair, of course, the Majosi braids every day, all day long. I also love how you guys are rocking the braids. I also love when people bring their own remixes of that in, and just the beauty of it. I think it's so beautiful. So yeah, for me, I guess my art and my identity are very intertwined, and I would want to bring my cultural like heritage into my arts at all times.
And the other thing that you bring is like really just a sense of like fierceness. I mean, there's scenes from the video where it's like you just really like, it's like Beyonce, like own the thing, like this is the expression on my face, like I'm serving it, like this is happening right now. It's like a serious, it's like a star quality thing.
Thank
right
you. You, yeah, guys, I think that was so much fun. Like I really recommend everyone to watch that absolute clip. It doesn't even, it's not even a commercial, it's like a movie trailer. It just looks, it's so epic and it's so insane. And that's the one where I play the rain queen, and which Ari says I look fierce and stuff.
You do. I'm looking at the picture here with the blue lips and like the whole, and I don't know how they even did that to your eyes.
It's amazing.
Like super super blue and a whole situation. Shaw Majosi's character takes inspiration from the rain queen with her powerful words. Shaw summons the weather and rains that enrich the earth as she moves. I mean, this is like, as she moves, her body leaves blue streaks shimmering in the air. How do you even go back to like getting groceries after you've been there? Like, can you just walk into the spa again? Like, is that possible? Or does someone like, do you have to, like, can you do that again? Can you go to a mall?
And after be you've normal been? After that. I don't know. It was definitely a new level for me. Even like just working with Absolute. And I love Absolute just as a brand, because everything they do is dope. Even when they started the One Source thing, everybody will remember the Kulichana video that they did, which was also like a movie. And people also know with me, I always say my life is a movie, you know? So I think I was a I was a good fit to be put in there, you know, and played that role and whatever. And it did change. It did change, I think, a lot for me. It changed also like what's possible, how like Africans can be portrayed and stuff. And that like we don't always have to be like poor, hungry, whatever, whatever in the movies. Like, I can literally have superpowers.
Yeah.
Like, that's dope. And like, which means now there's a whole new generation of young Africans who can see African superheroes with superpowers.
It's very cool. It's very cool. The whole thing is just too cool for school.
Definitely.
I mean, what kind of friends do you have? Because I would imagine you have to be like really cool to hang out with you. Like, I don't even... Like, it's as the place opens, you know about it. And actually, more than that, I guess, how important are the people that you surround yourself with, and how, I don't know, how do you select who those people are? Because the second you start gaining traction on something, it's like, it's such an overtold story, but it happens again and again that, you know, the people around you become more and more important, and you really have to kind of differentiate how you're going to play that whole thing. So how are you playing that whole thing?
I've been very lucky to have friends from like when I was very young, and I've probably lost most of the friends I've had throughout my life, and so I have a very small circle, but of like very, very close friends who I love to death. If people watch my music video, like the first girl in that video, we've been friends since 3 years old. She's also from my village. Like a couple of frames in, there's another friend of mine who we went to school with, and so we're still really tight. She's also a dope artist. Then you move on, and I have like the current friends that I'm friends with in Joburg. Also some cool kids like Langa Mavuso, and also Lemuhang Tsipa, who plays my love interest in Isthembiso. And so these are like the new friends that I've made now, but who I also really, really like and enjoy. And I guess nowadays it's also important to have friends who maybe a little bit understand like what you're going through. Yeah. So with people like Lemu, his career has kind of skyrocketed in the past year, and so has mine. And someone like Langa Mavuso, I love his art dearly, and like he's recently been signed to Black Coffee's label and things. So it's people where we're all kind of new to this industry, and I feel like everybody's kind of doing well for themselves, and it's really nice to have those kind of friends where you kind of, you know, you link up with them and you're like, how crazy is this? Yeah. Because also a lot of people look at me and think this is so normal for me, like I've always just been famous, and I haven't. Like I've been famous for 1 year, or I've been getting like doing this, I've been in this industry for a year. So it's also nice to be with people who are also like, what is going on?
This is crazy.
This is mad.
What's been the most pinch me sort of moment that you've had in the past year or so?
Sure, I've had so many, but okay, I've already told the one where children came to my grandmother's house. I've told this on a different occasion as well. So like, you know, quite a lot of children came and were singing for me outside of my grandmother's house.
Cool.
Yeah, and I have a video of that on Twitter. It's like, that was really eye-opening moment for me. But another one was when I was asked to come perform in Ireland, and I was... because I was like, oh, I'm in Europe, so no one's going to know me. So I was just walking around looking like a crazy person. I was like, yes, freedom. And I was, I was just looking crazy and talking to myself and singing across the street and whatever. Like, just, you know.
You've really painted a great picture of what you were doing in Europe now. Looking crazy, talking to yourself. Okay.
Yes.
That's not going to draw attention at all.
Oh, yeah, true. But I was like, you know, Europe people kind of do whatever. Okay. Like, there was people, I mean, I walked past, there were people naked in one of the parks.
In Europe were you?
Well, this happened in Germany, but this story that I'm telling was like in Ireland, right? So where I'm walking, and I walk past the streets, and I'm just in my own bubble having the time of my life.
Yeah.
And these guys stopped and they were like, has he been to Milan? I was like, no, what is this? Like, how do you know me? This That's is crazy. Mad. Like, I could not. I was just like, what is actually happening? Because I was in Europe at the time. I'm like, at that point, probably, I mean, even now, a lot of South Africans don't know me. So what are these guys doing in Ireland?
It's pretty cool.
It was mad, yeah.
And I guess it's cool to balance out, because, you know, I mean, that's because of the internet. The internet's done, it's democratized the world in an incredible way. It's given everybody a voice. And it's, you know, it's about how we channel it. So on the one hand, I guess, you know, there's the, people use it for incredible negativity and to breed it and that. But on the other hand, like, that's really cool that you can be in another country and have that experience.
Yes.
How do you manage your relationship with the internet? Because like every 4 seconds someone's got an opinion. And I mean, everyone will say like, yeah, don't let the haters get you down, da, 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 I don't read the comments, but everybody reads the comments. So once you've read the comments, how do you channel it?
So I mean, like, I
not that I think you get a lot of criticism. I wouldn't imagine that you do.
I don't get that much criticism. The kind of hatred I will get, and I never talk about this, but I do still get people that are hating on me just simply for being Tsonga and for being proudly Tsonga. And that one will never work, because that's been like, I mean, since I was born, people trying to get me down, and that hasn't worked. So I think people should save their data on that one, on that particular point. I'm never going to feel bad about that. But other than that, I don't actually get that much hate, which is cool. And I praise the internet. Mina, I've even said in my song, Kurni Dumi Phone, which means I'm phone famous. I was made famous by my phone. Everything that happened to me in this past year that we've talked about, it started on Instagram. It started, everyone found me on Instagram. Me and Oke Malum Cool Cat started our conversation on Instagram. PSDJs found me on Instagram. Maporisa found me on Instagram. Istembiso found me on Instagram and cast me.
Crazy.
So yeah, so everything, I praise the internet. I mean, we're right now, we're reaching people through the interwebs.
Right now, yeah.
Yeah. So I really want to look at more like the great stuff that it's done for me, and it's been amazing. And like you said, we gonna travel the world.
I wonder what happens when you actually go to Milan.
I know.
All right, hanging out with the Rain Queen, Shoma Jozy's in the building. Other side of this, we're landing it with the four signs of a good interview. So if we get short to speak about these four things, it's been a great interview. What are those four things? It's next. So there are four signs of a good interview.
Okay.
These four topics, all people are interested in these four topics about any person, right? Okay. So the four topics are, I'll tell you now so that you're prepared, you know exactly what's going to come, are wealth. People are interested in if someone's making money, if they're not. Family, if people are happy, proud, da-da-da-da-da, all of that stuff. Love, people are always interested in love.
Yeah.
And health. Because, you know, like sometimes you watch TV, the person lost 300 kilograms, like you're like, that's crazy, that's insane. These are what people, just as people, are interested in when it comes to other people.
Okay.
So if we kick it off, let's kick it off with family.
Okay.
I mean, do you have like a WhatsApp group and everyone's just like, oh, this is so cool, that's so cool, what's the take? I didn't even ask you if you have siblings, like just what's everyone's stance on what's happening? Are they accountants? Are they lawyers? Just tell us everything.
My family, I've got four brothers and sisters.
Four? Okay. I thought you said four brothers for a second.
Oh, no.
Two sisters.
Sisters, and I'm right in the middle of two older brothers, two younger sisters.
Oh, cool.
I have two parents, crazy. And then there's a WhatsApp group with like my aunts and whatever, and it's mostly people sending us Bible quotes and stuff.
Okay.
Sometimes directed at me because some of my lyrics are not very biblical. So there's a bit of like spiciness going on there, and what else?
But they're stoked, right?
Oh, you mean about my career?
Yeah.
Like the thing is, okay, my family is very religious, you know, so I've always had to rebel a little bit against a lot of things. So in the beginning, I think it was like, why is she doing this? And then later on, I think they were like, oh, is she managing to make a living? That's cool, I guess, you know. My dad, on the other hand, is extremely excited.
Yeah.
He thinks it's the coolest thing ever. And he tweets me the most. Even if, like, I don't know, yeah, he tweets, like, all the time, like, Shoma Jozy this, Shoma Jozy that.
Wow.
He's my biggest fan. So he's pretty excited about it, I would say. And then my cousins are all excited.
Yeah.
I know Shoma Jozy, Shoma Jozy's my cousin, blah, blah. I always get phone calls when people are drunk.
Yeah.
And then they're like, Maya, tell them who you are and how you know me. I'm like, it's Shoma Jozy, she's my cousin. And then they're like, then the friends will be like, prove, how do we know it's really her? Then I'll be like, yeah. Then they're like, oh, Shasha, wow, oh my God. My brother called me like, oh, I haven't been getting any chicks lately. Can you please call right now?
Wow.
Video call me. I'm like, dude, what is this? That is my job to my cousins and my brothers. Yeah.
No, but that's cool. What a cool role to play. That's a cool role to play. So they stoked because now you're making a living. And I mean, is this financially solid? I mean, from a money perspective in terms of wealth, like it looks, I mean, you're doing well. You're not flashy about it. So, I mean, it's not part of, I can't imagine that you would be, you know, posting the Lamborghini onto Insta.
You didn't see my Lamborghini on Insta. That's mad. Are you even following me? What's going on right now? Not flashy? Are you mad? I'm very flashy. It's just that in my own way. Because people don't understand how many Shibelanis I have, for instance, right? And people think, like, oh, it's cultural. That means it's like deep and soulful. I'm really just balling out.
Okay.
Like, I have probably at this point about 12 or 14 shibelani in my home. Please ask your Tsonga friends how much one shibelani costs.
Okay.
And then you will see I'm not flossing.
So you're, okay. so you're balling hard. Wealth is a good situation. Love. This is what, you know, people are always interested in love.
Yes.
Because, I mean, eventually in a song we'll be able to know if you're in love or not. People can tell from your lyrics.
Yeah, true.
So are you in love?
I'm so sorry to tell you this because when I walked in here...
Oh, no, it's going to be sad.
When I walked in here, the producer... Yeah, it's going to be very sad for you. I'm so sorry in advance. Your producer was like, oh, Ari wants to know if you're married.
Oh, okay.
I'm like, why is he asking this? Does he... I'm like, how is this the first question this man is on? I'm like, I haven't even met him. He already wants to propose me. My reputation precedes itself. When I get home, I'm going to thank my whole team and all the PR and whatever that he haven't even met me want to propose. So the sad news for you, but amazing for me, is that you can never catch me single.
Okay, there you go.
Never.
Love.
Yes.
So now we know what's happening in the love department.
Yes.
Are you like excited about Valentine's? Do you get excited about like gimmicky love things like Valentine's Day and that? Are you like romantic? I don't know.
Am I romantic? Yeah, in a way. In a way,
like a cool way. Like, I'm so cool that I'm not. I don't think it's cool to. Okay, I get you.
I love. I think love is awesome. Okay, cool. Like, I love it. That's why, like I said, you know, like, yeah, that's why I'm a big fan of just love. If you guys don't have somebody with you, try and find someone at least for the 14th and do something.
Okay.
And do something nice, you know?
The 14th.
Yeah, you know, because love is nice. It's sweet. Like, you know, making out is awesome.
Yeah. See, and then you do the laugh thing afterwards. So it makes it gangster. Like, it was cool and cute and quirky, and then it goes back. Okay. And then health, because you look fantastic. And as you, I mean, it looks like you drink lots of water.
Yes. It's not water, it's Absolute. Okay. I'm joking. It's just, I didn't know if you were going to accept it. So I put it in a water bottle.
Okay, yeah. Okay, cool. I see. Wow, that's a lot of Absolute you just down there. But, because, I mean, Dr. December, all you do is sit at each Shell Ultra City. Like, so how do you, like, keep healthy and then all, I mean, do you, I feel like you could turn around and you could say to me in a second that you're, like, vegan or something. I wouldn't be surprised.
What?
I don't know.
That's crazy. What do I do? No, I'm not a vegan, guys. Okay. That's insane. I love meat. I love braai. Yeah. I love nyama, kahle, all kinds of meat. And but I do get a lot of exercise because we do a lot of voshos on stage. So I'm doing a lot of that. We dance a lot. If people watch my performances, you see that we always like give the most. I always go into like this other kind of trance. I get off stage, I'm like, what did I do? They're like, oh no, you were doing this time and you were dancing like this and then you did this and then your other dancer climbed on the speaker and then I'm like, please don't do this anymore. Then we go to the next show and blah, blah, blah. But it's all very active. So luckily I live a life that is, that's kind of, active enough.
You handled that like a champion. Yes. Look at that. There was no like, I moved to the next, I refuse to answer that.
No. That was fantastic. I'm a boss. Okay. So, and people also know that there's like, people that follow me know I'm very open about my life. Even on like Instagram, I'll say everything that I'm doing. Mm. I even give people sneak previews into songs that I'm not supposed to be talking about.
What a rock star. And now, because you just seamlessly passed through all of that, you actually get to say whatever it is that you feel is left to say. This can be promoting whatever, this can be whatever. You get to have the last word here. What is there left to say?
I think because everybody already follows at Shoma Josie.
Yeah.
And because everyone has already watched the Do Me Your Phone video, then the only thing there is to say is that I absolutely cannot wait for the One Source Live concert. March 24th. I'm part of the whole Absolute team now, and that's really exciting. But when I went to see what that concert is actually going to look like, what that festival is going to look like on the 24th of March, I have to admit that I was blown away. So that's the next thing that I'm working really hard on. And I want to make it really spectacular. Mm. So I really, really hope people come and see that, because it's actually going to be really mind-blowing and dope.
So cool. I mean, it's been fantastic to meet you. You never know what you're going to get when someone walks in. And I think Yeah, like what's so cool is, and I said it right at the top of this, is just that, like, that authenticity. And I think you, without realizing it, mean a lot to a lot of people and will mean a lot to a lot of people moving forward. That's only going to grow, which is quite a cool thing to do while you're hanging out on planet Earth.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for the time.
Yes.
And all over social media. And that there is Sean Majorzy. Thanks so much for stopping by.
Nice one. Kelman on CliffCentral.com.